Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In chapter 4, we're told in verse 3 to be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. Then in verse 13, we have a marvelous expression concerning oneness. Until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Yes, our oneness surely is a oneness of the Spirit, but we must not overlook the destination of our oneness, a threefold destination. And Bob Danker has joined us as we consider this marvelous threefold destination. Welcome back to the program, Bob.
It's good to be back, Chris. This matter of oneness, as you said, is absolutely critical to the church as the body of Christ. Without oneness, we cannot experience and enjoy the reality of the body of Christ, and we cannot carry out God's heart desire to build up the body of Christ in full. So we need very much to keep the oneness of the Spirit as the reality of the oneness, and we also need to journey onward until we arrive at the destination of the oneness, which we see here in Ephesians 4:13.
You mentioned, Bob, the reality of the oneness, that obviously this oneness talked about in verse 3. We'll see today that the oneness in verse 13 is really the practical oneness that is our destination today. I want to digress for a moment, though, before we go on to really get into verse 13 and step back to what comes right before it in context. Verses 11 and 12, Bob, talk about how the Lord gave gifts to the body, namely the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Let's talk for a minute about these gifts and just what it is that these gifts should do, and maybe equally important, what they should not do or do not do according to Paul's presentation here.
Well, Chris, it's important for us to realize that the gifts that the Lord gave, spoken about here in Ephesians 4, are persons, gifted persons. And you mentioned who they are, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and the teachers. Now, these gifted persons, according to verse 12, have a particular function, particular commission that they have been charged by the Lord to carry out. And that commission is to perfect all the saints, all the other members of the body of Christ, so that these members of the body of Christ can do the same work that the gifted ones do. And that work here is called the work of the ministry. There's only one ministry in the entire New Testament economy of God. And all of us, as members of the body, need to be engaged in that one work. But before we can engage in that work, we need to be perfected by the gifted members of the body. This is what they should do. They should perfect the saints to do the work of the ministry. What they should not do is to replace the saints.
Right.
They are not the ones who carry out the work of the ministry directly to build up the body of Christ. The ones who do this are the members who are perfected by them. So if they replace these members, then the body cannot be built up. They must do their work, that is to perfect the saints, so that the saints can carry out the work of the ministry, and this results in the building up of the body of Christ.
Bob, I want to read verse 12 from the Recovery Version. I know this was a verse that Witness Lee and those that were involved in the translation work spent much time over to get it spot on as to the meaning in the original Greek. For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. And the meaning there is, as you just said, Bob, quite clear that the gifted ones perfect the saints. But the problem is, as the saints, we most often want to leave it to them to do the building work. But according to this verse, it's the saints. It's those that have been perfected that do the building work, isn't it?
That's right, Chris. On our part, we need to long and desire to be perfected so that we can do the work. We should not leave the work to a few. This is not God's desire. This is not God's economy. God's economy is to have a living, functioning body where every member is full of life and fully equipped to carry out his function in coordination with all the other members to cause the building up of the body itself.
And so now I think it's the right context to approach the verse that we really have before us today, verse 13, until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This arrival is very corporate, isn't it?
It is. It follows verse 12. It says that all the saints should do the work of the ministry until we all arrive. So we are all carrying on the one work of the ministry, and as a result, we will all arrive together at the destination, this threefold oneness.
Well, let's join Witness Lee with our fellowship today.
Ephesians 4:13, until we all arrive. Listen to the pronoun we. Paul didn't say until you all, but until we, including the Apostle Paul. You see, until we all arrive. It is altogether not so good just for you and me, a few, to arrive at the destination, leaving so many behind. If we are going to arrive at the destination, I tell you, we have to arrive at that destination together at the same time until we all arrive at the oneness. The oneness again. Many, many Christians, they don't see these two onenesses. One is in verse 3, the oneness of the Spirit. And this one is in verse 13, the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God. The oneness of the Spirit is the oneness of the reality. Because the Spirit is the reality of our oneness. But the oneness of reality has to be practiced. So in verse 13, we have the oneness of practicality. From the oneness of reality to the oneness of practicality, there is a distance. This is why we have to arrive. You see, from one end, we have to go on to arrive at the other end. And the other end is our destination. The oneness of the Spirit is just the beginning. And the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God is the destination. We have to journey. We have to travel from the oneness of reality until we arrive at the oneness of practicality.
Bob, he made the statement that many Christians don't see that there are two onenesses here in chapter 4. The first one, it's a starting point, our beginning point, a oneness of reality, and the second is our destination, where we hope to arrive. Why is it important to see this distinction?
Well, Chris, it's important to see this distinction because God has a goal for his people. All his people, all believers, have already the reality of the oneness. And that reality is the indwelling Spirit. In verse 3, it doesn't say that we should arrive at this oneness. It says that we should keep it, which means that we have it already. We all have the Spirit within us. He's the reality of our oneness. If we remain in union with him, we will always have the oneness. We'll always be one. We'll never be divided. And yet, there's a journey for us to take to a destination. And this is in verse 13. So Paul uses the word arrive here, as if we are on a journey going toward a destination. And this destination, I would say, is the full building up of the body of Christ, which we have not arrived at yet. And in this full building up of the body of Christ, we will arrive at a threefold oneness, the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, a full-grown man, and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We have not yet arrived at this oneness of practicality. Witness Lee used this word practicality.
Mm-hmm.
Practicality means practice. So today we have the oneness of the Spirit, and we should keep it. And as we are keeping the oneness of the Spirit, then we're going on and on and on our journey until we arrive at the destination that Paul lays out for us here in verse 13. So I feel like it's very important for us to see the two ends here.
Right.
As soon as we believe, we receive the Spirit as the reality of the oneness, and we have Him.
Right.
So we should keep Him. Don't go away from Him. Stay with Him. Then we have the reality of the oneness. But then also, as we're keeping the Spirit as the reality, we are journeying on to reach the destination in verse 13.
And I think it's fair to say, Bob, that many believers, probably all of us at various stages, are become satisfied that we have a so-called oneness of the Spirit. If our pursuing of Christ doesn't include our pursuing of a practical oneness among His people as His real full expression, we miss a lot, don't we?
We miss very much, Chris. We miss actually the goal of God's economy, which is the full building up of the body of Christ. We all have to agree, if we look at the situation of the believers on the earth today, we have not arrived at this destination. We have a good ways to go. So we need this kind of word here in Ephesians chapter 4.
As we mentioned at the beginning of the program, Bob, this destination is really threefold. It's a oneness of the faith, it's a oneness of the full knowledge of the Son of God, and it's at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We want to look at this definition of our destination point in more detail in this coming portion. Here's Witness Lee again.
What is the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God? It's hard to give a clear and adequate definition. Why? Because all these are related to life. Life is so abstract, and we have to admit we are so short of the experiences of life. Until our experience has reached to a certain extent, we cannot understand verses like these to that extent. The faith here actually is just Christ with His work. Yet, you have to realize, here it doesn't say only the faith. It also says of the full knowledge of the Son of God. If you get into the experience, you surely know actually these two are just one. Both are Christ. The full knowledge of the Son of God is to know how Christ is our life, how Christ is everything to us. When we experience Christ to such extent in our life, then we know Him as the Son of God, and then we have the experiential oneness. Let me say this. When we see what God wants is just Christ, and this Christ is just the unique object of our faith, and this Christ has to be experienced by us as our life, I tell you, we begin to drop. To drop anything that is not Christ. To drop something even so scriptural, yet it is not Christ. I don't mean we can begin to drop everything once for all. No. How much we would drop, it all depends upon how much we would experience Christ. The more we experience Him as life, the more we drop. I tell you, this is the oneness of faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God in our experience.
Bob, we began by talking about how we progress really in this journey from the starting point of the oneness of the Spirit as the reality of our oneness, but then a journey taking us to the destination. This journey is not a journey of doctrinal knowledge and understanding, is it? He really brings it into the experiential realm here. I thought that was the point we should really focus on in this section.
That's right, Chris. Even our understanding of this section depends on our experience of life. This is altogether a matter of life, of growing in life by experiencing and enjoying Christ until we arrive at a full-grown man. This is our destination, and the way to get there is only by life. There is no other way to journey and to arrive except by the experience of Christ as our life. This is why here in this portion, Paul refers to Christ as the Son of God. Whenever you see the Son of God in the Scriptures, it always refers to Christ as the embodiment of the eternal divine life. And this Son of God, He is the object of our faith. He is the one in whom we believe. Once we believe in Him, He enters into us to live in us, to be our life and our everything. Our problem is that we have many things in addition to this dear and wonderful person. We have many doctrines, concepts, practices that we treasure that are not Christ Himself. And we have ourself as our life too many times. We don't have the full knowledge of Christ as our life and as everything to us. But this is a destination at which God wants us to arrive. God wants Christ to be everything to us. He wants Christ to be life to us. He wants Christ to be our patience, our love, all our virtues,
right.
You know, everything to our regenerated being as a Christian and as a member of the body of Christ. We're not there yet, Chris. We have many things in addition to Christ. This is why we need to go on to experience Christ and enjoy Christ as our life more and more. Then, as we grow in life, spontaneously, all the things that we hold on to that are not Christ Himself will fall away, and we will arrive at the destination of just having the faith, which is Christ and His all-inclusive work on our behalf and for God's economy. And we will have the oneness of the full knowledge, experiential knowledge, of the all-inclusive Christ.
Yeah, he said the more we experience, the more we will drop all these things. And it's really these things that have a practical negative impact on the oneness we experience with other believers, isn't it?
That's right, Chris. If we hold on to anything other than Christ and His all-inclusive work to carry out God's economy, if we hold on to anything other than this, then what will result is that we will become divided from other believers spontaneously.
Right.
We will naturally group together with those
who hold on to the same thing. Yeah.
And that's really what has happened in today's Christianity. It's very clear. We can see it everywhere. So what do we need? We need to see the destination that Paul is speaking about here. And we need to give ourselves to take this journey, the journey of life, the journey of the experience and enjoyment of Christ, to arrive at that destination.
Mm, wonderful. Bob, in this coming section, Witness Lee will pick up this very point at the beginning here and actually refer to these things that we hold on to as our toys. And for that, he is making reference back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child. Since I have become a man, I have done away with childish things. Let's join Witness Lee.
Then the second thing, to arrive at a full-grown man, the more differences we have, the more childish we are. Different teachings, go teachings, but these teachings are toys. The concept of toys is fully covered in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says here, some teachings, some practices are toys to Christians because they are just children. When they grow, they will drop. When they are grown up, no more toys. We all have to be perfected until we all will arrive at a full-grown man. The second thing. Now the third thing. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This means the full building up of the body. Today, we all must do one kind of work. The work of the ministry. And that is the building up of the body of Christ. And we don't have another ministry. We only have one ministry. We are just doing one work to build up the body of Christ. I hope that we all can see this. You and I, regardless great or small, we all are working to carry out the New Testament economy ministry by going on. Not going on by yourself, but also going on by bringing others on. While you are going on, you have to bring others on. I believe when we would see this will regulate us. This surely will regulate us. Whatever we do it for this one goal, to bring all others to go on with us to arrive at the goal of three things: the practical oneness, the full growth, and the completion of the building of the body of Christ.
Bob, I was, as you were, I know, very much struck with this fellowship. Just to pick up his final point here, what would the situation really be like today if all the workers, all the ministers, all the ministries, all the believers had this one goal, bringing all the believers on to this kind of practical oneness?
It would be an unspeakably wonderful situation in the church. And I would say, by now, the Lord would have returned. We would be in the kingdom by now if we all had this one goal, that is, to arrive at this practical oneness, which really, ultimately, is the full building up of the body of Christ. This is God's goal. This is the goal of God's economy, and it needs to be our goal. So we need to do everything in our Christian life and in our relationship with other believers so that we will be brought on to reach this goal of the threefold oneness, which really is the full building up of the body of Christ. That's the full growth of the body, so that we would be no more little children,
right,
playing with our doctrinal toys, our preferences and things like this as our toys, but we would really grow up to be a full-grown corporate man in God's economy, full of the life of Christ, full of the stature, the measure of the stature of the fullness, which is the body of Christ. So this is a tremendous thing. We all need to be refocused in our Christian life to take God's goal as our goal and to do everything to reach this goal.
That's why this book is so important, because for most believers, the problem is there's no seeing of the goal. They don't see God's goal. Therefore, you end up with another goal. But this book, it just lays it out here so clearly for us. That's why it's such a critical component to the New Testament revelation, isn't it?
Yes, Chris, especially this chapter 4 of Ephesians, which is a chapter fully devoted to the building up of the body of Christ.
For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.